This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On this Monday, May 5th, we'll discuss what happened this weekend at the State Republican Party Convention during this State Capitol Report. First with Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson. And then after 7:30, we will have the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin with us, Brian Schimming. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions to all the news from the GOP convention. You heard in state news they rejected that secession resolution, nullification. We'll talk about Democratic state representative and gubernatorial candidate Brett Halsey distributing or saying he was going to distribute KKK hoods at the GOP convention. What do you think of all this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
And congratulations. You won the first place in the state for news writing at the WBA, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, awards banquet this weekend. So,
yeah,
way to go.
Thank you. Happy to get that one.
And you were busy going to the GOP convention this weekend, and we'll talk about what you covered in just a moment. But you also covered a very significant court ruling last week. A federal judge ruled Wisconsin's voter ID law unconstitutional.
It is very significant. And, you know, we've maybe gotten a little bit used to having these significant court opinions in Wisconsin because we've had a lot of them, but this one was in federal court. It's the first time a federal court has ruled on Wisconsin's voter ID law. If the court found it unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution, also found that it violated the Voting Rights Act, specifically Section 2 of the Federal Voting Rights Act. This is, this is significant for a few reasons. It means we're probably not going to have voter ID in this November's elections. We're not going to have a special session because of the way that the judge crafted his order, essentially telling the legislature, I don't see how you can fix this in my eyes. And, just a reminder that we still have these state lawsuits against voter ID that are hanging out there. But those kind of take a back seat now to this one.
How did the judge craft his decision to say this can't be fixed?
Well, he said that it was the way that they built, the factual record in this case and the way they challenged it using Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which is, used to prevent discrimination in voting. It's normally used in lawsuits against redistricting. But in this case, the plaintiffs had many attorneys, including one of them, John Yulin. He said that this case, they built it differently than other voter ID cases that the courts have upheld. And they said the factual record was a big part of that.
Judge Adelman was both cognizant of those cases and persuaded by the approach that we took in terms of developing a factual record that would allow him to make the findings that other courts were not able to make.
And so what they did is they have several examples in their case of voters who did not have the necessary IDs to vote, had to go through several hurdles to get it, and then they backed that up with statistics showing that it would disproportionately affect blacks and Latinos, which triggers the Voting Rights Act. Attorney Yulin says this is something that now that they've succeeded in Wisconsin, they're going to use in other states.
The case is quite deliberately a blueprint for Section 2 challenges to vote ID and other forms of vote denial.
So Democrats were pleased with this ruling. Republicans for about a day weren't quite sure what they were going to do. Governor Walker had been out pretty publicly earlier this year saying that if the courts rule against voter ID, he'd like to call a special session of the legislature, bring them back in, fix it to address the court's concerns. But Judge Lynn Adelman said in his ruling that he would be hard pressed to see how you could remove the discriminatory effect of this law. Attorney General T.B. Van Hollen vowed an immediate appeal. He said that what Edelman did there was very broad.
It's really unprecedented to go that broad. It's unprecedented to almost completely conflict with what the United States Supreme Court has already held, and to basically prospectively say that if the state passes any photo ID law in any form going forward, come to me and I'll strike it down.
And Governor Walker, by the end of the week, had backed away from his call for a special session. Legislative leaders, you know, kind of beat him to the punch there. He was asked about the finding in the case up in La Crosse, about the finding in the case that the voter ID law would disproportionately affect blacks and Latinos. Here's what the governor had to say.
I think that is a racially insensitive comment on his part and the others out there to assume that certain ethnic groups are more or less likely to be able to obtain access to photo identification. I don't think there's, again, I think that's an insensitive comment to imply that one group or another is more or less likely to be able to get a driver's license or a photo identification card.
So, you know, in sum, you have a federal judge saying Wisconsin's voter ID laws will disproportionately affect blacks and Latinos. The governor turns around late in the week and says the judge is racially insensitive for suggesting that. So I don't know if that's going to translate into an argument on appeal or if that's just how the governor's going to handle it politically. They did not talk much about that. No, we'll get to it in a minute, but not talk much about that at the state GOP convention this weekend.
Well, we will talk about what else happened at the state's GOP convention after we take a short break. And we will welcome any questions you might have about voter ID right away. But then we'll talk about the issues that were covered in the Republican Party of Wisconsin's convention this weekend. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about significant happenings in state politics in the past week, including this decision by federal judge Lynn Edelman declaring Wisconsin's voter ID law unconstitutional. The state says it will appeal, but there will not be a special session of the legislature to craft a new voter ID law in time for the November election. Sean, before we wrap up our discussion on voter ID, so what happens now? Where does this case go with the appeal that's promised?
Yeah, well, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen is going to file an appeal to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and he's going to ask them to stay Judge Edelman's ruling. So, you know, in effect, the ruling would still be going on up to the Court of Appeals, but the injunction that blocks the voter ID law, Van Hollen's going to ask them to lift that. You know, whether they do that in time or they rule in time for the November election remains to be seen. I mean, Van Hollen basically says he's hopeful. The plaintiffs in this case say they think that those judges are going to want to take some time to examine the factual record in this case, especially since they're, you know, bringing a somewhat new argument in voter ID cases.
Well, let's turn our attention to the GOP convention this past weekend. Some issues regarding racial policies did come out during that particular convention, in that State Representative Brett Halsey, who says he's also going to run for governor as a Democrat, went to the convention and he promised to pass out KKK hoods, hoods representing the Ku Klux Klan, to point out what he called the racist policies of the GOP. Did he actually do that?
Representative Halsey went for the more understated approach, decided to dress up as a Confederate soldier instead. And so he was outside of the state GOP convention in Milwaukee. You can hear him describe his getup here.
Today I'm dressing up as Major Bass Ackwards. This is a Confederate officer uniform, the best I could do at the thrift stores in the Madison area. And I am here to highlight Governor Walker and the Republicans' racist agenda.
So the Confederate uniform nod to the secession resolution up for debate at the state GOP convention, you know, that got a lot of attention that even made it to the agenda. I can tell you when they took that up in the convention, they took it up first and wanted to make a public showing of it, and they disposed of it pretty quickly. I mean, they voted it down on a voice vote. There was a handful of people that objected.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in just a moment. But so Halsey was just there. I mean, he did not pass out these hoods, though.
No, he didn't pass out the hoods. Talk about another story that got some attention nationally. He did not pass out the hoods. He brought them to the state capitol press room earlier in the week, said, I made these at home, think I'm going to pass these out at the convention. He said at the convention he was never his intention to do that. He was using it to get media attention, which he did. So there he was in his homemade Confederate soldier.
Yeah. Well, this secession resolution that was to be voted on at the statewide GOP convention, how did it end up there? Why was it there?
They have, they have a process. They have various committees that meet to around the state to determine, you know, to put forward resolutions, you know, and essentially it cleared all the hurdles that it needed to make it close to the finish line, you know, and enough people were at these smaller committee meetings and gave it a positive vote that it was there before the entire state GOP on the nomination that was or on the convention that was to nominate Governor Scott Walker for a second term. So I think Republican leaders are, took some steps this year in terms of rule changes, and we'll be watching the next process a little more closely to try to sift proposals like this out. But it was there for everyone to see. And, you know, again, it was a pretty quick voice vote. No real debate on this. It was just shot down.
All right. Also, though, another controversial resolution was one that would, I don't know, be in favor of nullifying federal laws. What happened with the nullification resolution?
Yeah, specifically nullifying Obamacare.
Okay, it was just for Obamacare.
They had different nullification resolutions, and the secession resolution actually had some nullification language attached to it, too. This one was specific to Obamacare, and this one did have some pretty contentious debate. I mean, this one didn't go quietly. You actually had several people stand up and speak out in favor of it, saying that, you know, nullification is an important state right. One of those, Dan Jones of Kenosha, and he basically was saying that Republicans need to do more to stop Obamacare.
Yeah, because Obamacare is still in effect. I woke up one morning 2 months ago and I was a criminal because I don't have health insurance. And I don't think any American should wake up and become a criminal when they don't do anything. That's not a very American value.
And so this put Republican lawmakers like Dean Knutson of Hudson, maybe considered conservative in the legislature, basically he was arguing maybe to the left of Mr. Jones here. Knutson said this nullification proposal was a bad idea.
Ignoring something would be one thing, but this called for us to actively arrest and prosecute federal officials who would be implementing a law that's been duly passed by our elected representatives under the U.S. Constitution and upheld under the U.S. Supreme Court. And so as an upholder of the Constitution, I believe at that point that we shouldn't be making that criminalized in Wisconsin.
So what happened?
So these things get voted on by the people who show up at the convention. And so, whether this represents, say, a real slice of the Republican electorate, it's more a slice of the base who was there that day, but it was defeated on a vote of 303-145. So, you know, it's a significant margin, but you still had a very, vocal contingent there that wanted this nullification resolution.
Yeah, there was also a family values resolution. What happened with that?
Yeah, this was interesting. It was first time I've heard this at a state GOP convention. They had a family values resolution there. Stressing things like, you know, it's important to have a man and woman to raise a family. And actually had a couple delegates, including Devin Gatton, stand up and move to amend that family values resolution. They didn't have the crowd mics on at this thing, so it's a little bit hard to hear, but see if you can hear Devin describe this resolution.
In which it claims, be it further resolved that a marriage between a man and a woman is the best environment to raise children and to teach them the values and morals required to maintain a free society. I wish to change the wording to be it further resolved that a household with two parents in a committed relationship is the best environment to raise a child and teach them the values and morals required to maintain a free society.
Got a couple people clapping.
I got a couple people clapping. Got some people, they didn't boo, but, you know, they're unhappy with that. A lot of people stand up and speak out against it. And you know, his motion failed. His motion to change it from a man and a woman to two people in a committed relationship failed. But he stood up. He's the chair of Log Cabin Republicans in Wisconsin, a group that supports gay rights, and you know, so significant that he stood up and spoke. But certainly that wasn't, you know, he was fighting an uphill battle at this convention.
All right, well, here's a resolution that I guess surprised me to some extent. There was one resolution at the Republican Party convention condemning Republican lawmakers.
Yeah, over their position on the Common Core curriculum standards. Or the Common Core Education Standard, excuse me. This is something that State Senator Luther Olson and State Representative Steve Castell, they've actually, you know, there's been an effort by the base to get rid of Common Core in Wisconsin, replace it with state standards. Castell and Olson have basically blocked that. I think it's because they have the votes. They have other lawmakers who've been less public about it, but they've been very public opponents' efforts to overturn Common Core. So that has the base angry. And there was this vote to condemn those guys. It failed, you know, and it was along similar margins to, you know, the previous vote. Marathon County GOP Chair Bruce Trueblood was one of those who voted against condemning Olson and Castell. Here's what he had to say about it.
I think they should condemn Common Core if they want to condemn something. I think they should fight against the true problem, which is not Luther Olson, it's Common Core. If they're going to fight against Common Core, fight against Common Core. They should not fight against fellow Republicans.
So he said it was akin to, you know, making public a family feud. Vince Schmucki, one of those who wanted to condemn Luther Olson, and Steve Castell, not pleased with the vote, but he said it wouldn't exactly matter that they were going to come for Luther Olson anyway.
What you saw in there is a lot of people basically saying, oh, we can't say anything because it would be terrible to say something bad about one of our own. If we can't police ourselves, and I know they don't want to make it public, but the bottom line is Luther Olson's already made it public. He's already blown this thing out, and he's going to suffer for this. Whether or not this vote went down, the bottom line is the grassroots, the people who count, the people who vote, they've already made up their minds that he has to go.
So hinting pretty strongly there at a Republican primary for Senator Olson. Senator Olson's not up for election until 2016. He had a primary opponent last time around, defeated them pretty handily. You'll see what things look like 2 years from now. It's a long time.
Yeah. So usually during GOP or any party convention during an election year, it's to sort of launch the campaign officially for the gubernatorial candidate. Did that happen too?
It did happen too. I mean, Scott Walker was basically, he was the featured speaker of this convention. And, you know, the attention was on these resolutions because of what they covered. But he was there, he spoke, hit mostly familiar themes as he does in most of the campaign stump speeches now. But, you know, he did say, he stressed to people that kind of tune out this noise. And the real message going forward is that Wisconsin's better off now than it was when we met 4 years ago.
That's the real story. not all these other side issues. Wisconsin is better off today than it was 4 years ago, and it will be even better 4 years from now if Republicans continue to reform our state government. That's the real story. That's the real message.
All right. Well, we just have a minute to go, Sean. Anything else important from the GOP convention?
You had, some of our federal officer holders spoke. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner said that, you know, they ought to have a special cell in D.C. for the official at the IRS who was in charge of, the tax-exempt stuff with the Tea Party groups. They're going to hold her in contempt this week, he said. That's something that was echoed by Paul Ryan. Senator Ron Johnson used his time to attack Hillary Clinton over Benghazi, and that got some of the boos of the convention is when he brought up Hillary's name. Some of the only boos of the convention to my ear. So, you know, that's something that the Republicans are focused on right now.
Well, maybe we'll ask Brian Schimming coming up in our next half hour. Very, very briefly, Sean, looks like the state might help out with funding for road salt this week.
Yeah. Can you imagine that we went over budget this last winter on road salt? Joint Finance is going to vote on extra money for that, also money for a venture capital plan, and on UW's new policy for reporting financial reserves.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank
Sean
you.
Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. This is the Ideas Network.